There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Story Corner, from the Gruffalo to the Hunger Games and beyond.
Right, so World Teachers Day is the 5th of October, and that's when we celebrate it here in the UAE. But it is Teacher Appreciation Week in the US, which is always the first week of May, and 9th of May is Teacher Appreciation Day in the UK as well. So it's as good an excuse as any to welcome primary school teacher and regular reviewer for Scholastic Children's Books, Jake Andrew, to the show. Welcome.
Hello, good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Thank First you. Time also on radio.
Known, I know. Also known as Mr. Andrew.
That's the one.
Yes.
Not Mr. Andrews, which people often
Mr.
go for.
Mr. Andrew. Mr. Andrew. But first name Jake. And first time I think I've met you, but my goodness, you've chosen some amazing, amazing books. I just had to get them on my Kindle, and I'm completely captivated, particularly by one of them.
There's so many out there, it's impossible to choose, but I think we've got a good set there.
Remind us of your Twitter handle, because you're quite active on Twitter.
It'd be at Primary Mr. Andrew. And yeah, it's just a great chance to speak to other teachers, especially with the amount of children's literature that's out there at the moment, and just to share books which someone else would recommend and has worked well with their class. But yeah, it's a great way to improve myself as a teacher as well.
What age is the class that you have?
So I'm a year six teacher.
Year six. So there'd be 10 to 11?
10 to 11, yeah. That's where I've been for four years now, in year six.
Which school?
In Gems Jumeirah Primary School over in Al Safa. So this is my second year there. Lovely school, great kids, great parents. Everyone there is great to work with. So.
Yeah, can we talk about one of them, my favourite? Could we start with that one, Annabelle? Will you allow it, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Wed Wabbit by Lissa Evans. And I was just delighted to hear what you've done with that book. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about, you're obviously inspired by this book, so how does that leach itself into your class?
Yeah, I read it over winter, the winter just gone. And as soon as I read it, I just thought, this is a book that my class are going to absolutely adore. And it's a fun book just from start to finish. It's one of these books I don't think takes itself too seriously, but I think it's in that incredible, difficult niche of being a funny book, but with a bit of depth to it as well. And the characters, the journey that the characters go on, and the journey you go on as a reader with it, stands it apart from, I think, other humorous books out there which kind of lack that extra kind of dimension. So we've been reading it as a class, what we call our class novel, so 15 minutes a day, and the kids have loved it. And actually this week we managed to communicate with Lissa Evans, the author, and the class got to ask some questions. They presented some ideas for the book about some of the different things they would do, and it's the second time we've done that this year. We managed to call Jennifer Bell, author of the Uncommoners series, which was equally as a great experience for them, and they loved it.
I'm sure she did too. I'm sure Lissa Evans would have been delighted to have had exactly the readers that she is. You know, writers are never complete without readers. And I think what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. And sharing it and choosing a book that obviously is inspirational and it is very humorous. And the main character is wonderful. But also there's sort of quite dark things happening in there. And which child doesn't like things like that?
Exactly, it's such a blend of everything you would want in a children's book. Really, I say first and foremost as a teacher reading a book, it's got to be a book that you're interested in as well. I think there's been times where I've stumbled through a book and I better read it today. I haven't read it for a few days, but this is a book where we're all, as soon as I pick up my iPad and reread it via Apple TV on the interactive whiteboard, there's a yes, and someone runs over to turn the lights off so we can see it properly. And I think that's, as a teacher, your aim when you're dealing with books, is to get children into that kind of mood.
You said it was such a nice blend of all sorts of different things, and I read a Guardian review that I thought kind of put it really well. So one can imagine the elevator pitch for this new story: Alice in Wonderland meets Pixar's Inside Out, perhaps with a dash of Animal Farm, bearing in mind the animal dictator who has taken over Evans' fantasy kingdom.
I think they've got that spot on.
I think there, that really hits the nail on the head. So who are the characters in this book?
So our main protagonist there is a girl called Fidge, whose younger sister Minnie, who's 4 years old, is completely obsessed with her toy Wed Wabbit, who is a red rabbit, but because she think she gets a bit more attention if she doesn't say the R's completely correctly.
She can actually speak without lisping, but she obviously plays to the audience, and so every R and she has
as a teacher doing her speech parts. I'm stumbling through it with because as it reads in a book, it's the W's where R should be, and it gets a few laughs from the class if I trip over myself or so. So yeah, Minnie's obsessed with this toy, and another one of her storybooks, The Land of Wimbly Woos, which, as we kind of say, is inside out. I kind of think of Minions, kind of they're not real creatures, but I think they're described as being like dustbins or something like that. And after quite a dramatic incident with Minnie early on, one thing leads to another, and Fidge and her
cousin
who she doesn't get on particularly Graham somehow find themselves in Minnie's imagination of the Land of Wimbly Woos, and from there it's their quest to defeat the evil Wed Wabbit who has taken over. And it's just a bit silly. I think Graham's journey is one. I think when you're reading books, it's tempting to reading book with a class. It's tempting to kind of pursue every plot line and go into detail with everything. But I think sometimes you just need to read it, and they'll make those connections. But Graham's kind of journey is one that we've tracked throughout, and I think it has a really nice movement to it. And you see his development from mollycoddled, no independence child to a leader by the end.
And I'm only a quarter of the way through, but I just loved the character of Graham because you can feel the irritation that Fidge quite rightly has with him. And she writes so aptly and humorously about that relation between
And I think you can
children.
See Lissa Evans has done a lot of work for adults as well with her books for adults, and also with, I think she's done Father Ted on TV and produced Room 101 and shows like that, comedy shows, which you can see from I'm laughing when I'm reading it, and I know you both said you have as well, and it's you can see that comes through.
I had no idea she worked on Father Ted. That would explain why I was laughing out loud in public. That would explain
there you
it.
Go.
Now, you mentioned that Lissa Evans, there was a Skype chat with them, or that the children managed to ask her questions. What was the kind of main question that they wanted answered?
So we kind of split it into three parts, really. It was questions about her kind of journey to being an author. Mm. So did she always want to write? Because, you know, children at 10, 11 are getting into that period of enjoying writing, enjoying reading, and questions along those lines. We asked questions about the book itself. One of my favourite ones was, what type of Wimbly would you be? I quite like it. When you read it, you see they've all got different characteristics
and colours
as well. And everything like that. And then it's just some general questions to finish with. I think one we asked was, you know, which is quite important for children and adults, was, you know, how did you deal with negative reviews? And it's had lots of great reviews, but there's always going to be someone who doesn't particularly like what you're doing. And she said that. She said, you know, she's not there to please everyone. She pleases as many people as she can. I think that's an important message for the children to realise, that you do what you can. You know, there's always going to be someone who
reading is really, it's the connection that you make with the writer and the story, and you bring your own baggage to it. So I think that we have quite heated arguments on Talking in Books frequently about some people who love a book and some people who dislike it, and the reasons why. And it is really quite it's always interesting because it is subjective. And she's absolutely right about that. The thing is that she's writing because she wants to write, and she's got a great story to tell, and she tells it so visually. I mean, I can absolutely see this as being a smash hit movie.
I think it's already been optioned for film, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are going to make it into a movie. We've got a couple more books that we want to talk about as well. So remind us of the titles of the ones that you're going to recommend for us.
So second one would be The Girl of Ink and Stars by Kieran Millward Hargrave, and Tin by Padre Kenny.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about Tin recently. It's everywhere.
It's just been out recently. I think in February this year it was out. But I think it will do very well this year. It has done very well already. I think Waterstone's Book of the Month back home in the UK, but will do very well over.
We are going to return to those when we have a bit more time. Sure. Before we go away very briefly, you wanted to give a shout out to somebody, and I know you'll get in trouble if you don't.
I think I won't be allowed back in the classroom if I don't say hello to 6D, who's my class over at JPS, who their appetite for reading is like none I've ever seen before, and the quality of books they're reading.
I think you must take all credit for that, because when children have an inspirational teacher who makes sure that he's as enthusiastic and chooses books that he loves, because then that is going to resonate with the children, and you're, you know, arranging to speak to the author and things like that makes so much difference. So hats off, hooray to Mr. Andrew.
I'll take that. That can be my ringtone from now on.
Every day is Teacher Appreciation Day.
I have to say, I do not want to lose Fidge. You know, that's the thing about, I can see her being in other books almost.
You haven't got to the end of this one yet. You don't know what happens.
No. Oh.
Cliffhanger. Oh dear.
Keep reading. It's so good. You will absolutely love it.
I'm so fired up about Wed Wabbit. I know we've got to discuss other books. My next favourite is Tin.
Well, speaking of Wed Wabbit, before we move on from it, we actually have a bit that Jake is going to read out for us.
Oh, wonderful.
You get a full range of what you get in this book.
Do you want to put it in some context so the listeners know?
So this is Fidge has just entered Wimbley Land, and she's had a few questions in her own mind. She turned, catching her foot on a metal rail, and saw two round orange lights that grew rapidly, and there was a crescendo of sound. Diddly-dum, diddly-dum, diddly-dum. And she leapt clumsily aside as the steam train hurtled by, a hammering roar, a blur of smoke, a streak of light, and then it was gone, leaving only the battering wind of its passing. Fidge stood again in a darkness, her body pressed against the wall. I'm dreaming, she said out loud, but her shoulder hurt, where she'd banged it on the wall, and her eyes stung from the smoke, so she couldn't be dreaming, and she wasn't dead either, unless dead people could feel their ears popping. Not dreaming then, and not dead, but somewhere else, and on her own.
So there you go, that was a reading from Wed Wabbit by Lissa Evans.
That is the bit I've just got to, just read that
just
bit.
Just for you, Isabel, that one.
Thank you, yeah. No, I mean, I absolutely adore her as a character, and I'm rooting for Graham, because Graham, you know, if you had to have an unlikable cousin, it couldn't get any worse than Graham. And that's all I'll say. But I'm rooting for him.
I think as a teacher, everyone's had a few Grahams in their career. Not naming any names.
It's not Graham, is it? It's blooming parents who make Graham what he is. And that's the thing, is, you know, the pampering doesn't even begin to... do it. So I wonder who's going to pay Graham in the film. That's the idea.
Text message in says, loving the book talk. Thank you. Question for Mr. Andrew. Can pupils still relate to classics like Wind in the Willows?
I think absolutely. I think that classic books will always be classics. And you've got characters like Mr. Toad, who is, you know, will live long throughout, you know, history, really is a great character. And I think for me, I'm introducing them to modern books like this, because I think they'll naturally gravitate towards, or parents will be able to have more of an impact with books like Wind in the Willows and, you know, Secret Garden and the classics like that. And my aim is, there's so many fantastic authors out there at the moment, is to show them a
range.
What's out there now. Mm. And, you know, and away from... You know, again, if you look down the best-selling list of any, you know, you've got your David Walliams and you've got your Michael Morpurgo, so they'll gravitate towards those. But, you know, authors like Lissa Evans and Padraig Kenny and Kira Mitchell Hargrave are, you know, fantastic authors, which I'm trying to introduce them to.
Mm. I think that's a wonderful idea, because they say that every person can love books, but they need to have the right book for them. And sort of having, you know... for donkey's years, longer than I like to remember, been recommending books to children for one reason or another. There is a right book for each child. And so if they've got this lovely, you know, introduction to different things, they then become more courageous about trying different things. You know, sometimes I can remember it was called the Babysitter Club and the Goosebumps, and I couldn't stand those because there was like about 120 in the series. It wasn't that they weren't lovely, but it was just the idea that children would not step outside the comfort zone. They knew what they were going to get, and they would get to 128, by which time they were probably, you know, 16 or something ridiculous.
Lots of students texting in with the correct answer. Remind us of the question.
Right, so this is a question for any listener out there. This is the first line of a children's book. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of Number 4 Privet Drive were very proud to say they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much.
It's definitely the Hunger Games. So the text message, we've got one from Hashim who says, "You rock, Mr. Andrew." Two exclamation marks there.
Two. Five dojos, Hashim.
Student from Mr. Andrew's class. Oh, we don't have a name. 60. You'll have to guess who that is. Somebody says, "I'm from Mr. Andrew." I presume they mean class. And then Visney Berriman 5EJPS as well as texted in.
Hello,
so lots
everybody.
Of lovely responses there. I want us to move on now to Tin, actually, because we've talked a lot about Wed Wabbit, but Tin I've been seeing everywhere. And I picked it up yesterday because I heard what it was about and I thought I have to start reading this. So I've not got all the way through, so no spoilers. But just to kind of set the scene, would you mind telling listeners what it's about?
So it's about a group of mechanical children who are essentially robots, and they have they're owned by a famous engineer who's created them, and they are a family. And what's one of the key things about the story is the family feel and how human these non-human characters feel. And there is a boy there who is proper, what they call a human, called Christopher. Quite early on in the book, in the first few chapters, I think common theme with these books here, but there's a car accident and Christopher discovers something and he's not as human as he was led to believe. And it's about his quest, really, to find out who he is and what happened to him. And they say you should never judge a book by its cover, but this cover is one of the most beautiful I've ever seen. And it's completely on point for what the book is about. And it's such a lovely, as I say, it's the how real these characters feel, and it's about loyalty, this book. It's about sacrifice. There's a couple of moments in particular which I had to reread and think, did it actually just happen? And in a child's book, did quite a dramatic incident.
What age group would you recommend read Tin by Padraig? Is it Padraig?
Padraig Kenny. It's his debut novel.
Yes.
I would say from, it's in that 9 to 12, potentially a couple of years older range. Good kind of vocabulary in there, which is great. And as I said before, it's that maturity of books which children should be reading. So it's just an absolutely, from start to finish, fantastic book.
The thing that really inspired me about Tin was the fact that we're living in an age where robotics, AI,
absolutely.
And sort of robotic mechanicals, if you like to call them that, are going to be very much part of children's lives. And I was reading about this experiment, and it was a journalist who gave her daughter access, and her daughter was about 4, I suppose, to Alexa, just to experiment for 3 days. And she was horrified by the relationship that built up between what her daughter was asking Alexa to do, her little girl absolutely felt that Alexa was real in a way that she obviously wasn't. And I think this book, the idea of you have a boy who is human and the mechanicals, and yet the mechanicals have every bit of personality as much as the real boy does. And it's that kind of feeling, a bit like Pinocchio, which I know is a very old-fashioned book, but Pinocchio wasn't real either.
What struck me about Tin was precisely that. So I think it's another example of one of those children's books that's tackling difficult concepts that are hard enough to grasp in adult fiction and non-fiction, but that children's authors are grasping and communicating with such ease.
There's a female character who has to kind of go undercover to be an engineer because women shouldn't be engineers is one of the themes in it, and she actually ends up obviously doing a phenomenally good job. And I think those are the themes that, especially in the year groups I'm teaching in, they do appreciate that, the children. They are mature enough to have those discussions and tackle those stigmas. And in a book like this, where you've got something as clear as that, that's a gift for a teacher, really, because it's an entry-level conversation into difficult topics.
Have you read Sabriel by Garth Nix?
I haven't, but
Mortal Engines by Philip Reeve.
Okay, well, how am I reading this?
When I was reading it, it felt like a cross between those two things, because you've got the kind of you've got the kind of magical side of things, and then you've also got the mechanical artificial intelligence side of things, and the way he's combined them in this is really quite
Peter Bunzel's book Coghart and Moon Locket, which are two of the best books I've read in the last few years, it's about mechanical creatures and people in that as well, and this kind of book is cut from the same cloth, I guess. And I think you're completely right as well when you say that's what children are into these days. Mm. And you know, it's a big part of being a teacher is you know what we call STEAM, which is your science, technology, engineering, arts,
and
maths,
and the awful bit at the beginning where a family have had a tragedy and lost their only child, and the engineer of the mechanicals rocks up with a replacement, and it's just this whole
tries to take advantage.
There is this whole cult of people who own animals who are not real, they're robotic animals, and also babies that are, instead of having a baby, or that they have these doll-like creatures, and I saw a parade of people who own these dolls in Cambridge on a Saturday in all the big old-fashioned prams, and I was just sort of horrified at the amount of, and having the difference between a real pet and a robotic pet. I mean, it's just like, it's scary.
I think the gap's only going to narrow, isn't it, in the next few years.
So I think he's absolutely, as you said, on point. Padraig?
I don't know. I go Padraig.
I looked this up, and there's all sorts of different ways that you can pronounce it, depending on what district or whatever you're from. So I've purposely not said the name of the author.
So we're going Mr. Kenny.
Mr. Kenny, that's easy. I've got another first line for our listeners.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Okay, so any listeners out there, no matter what age you are, and I'm sure a lot of actually parents will probably know this one, it's a children's book. It's the first line from a much-loved children's book. A mouse took a stroll through a deep, dark wood. So if you know which book that's from, and hands are going up in the studio, please text into 4001, and if you're in Mr. Andrews' class, you get double marks for getting
the line again.
Right.
The line again, please.
Yes. A mouse took a stroll through a deep, dark wood.
Oh, that's a difficult one. That's a difficult.
Yes.
I think it's a younger end of the air prime.
We have more text messages in saying, Mr. Andrew rocks. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for bringing those recommendations to you. Before we head off to the Castaway Island, I've made a little rhyme inspired by Wed Wabbit to say thank you for your book recommendations today. Disclaimer, it's not very good. All right, but
Josh,
I tried.
Josh, I get my marking pen out.
Right, very quickly before Elaine kills me. Thank you to Jake for joining us. And before you head back on your bus, which I can only assume you took today because that rhymes, hip hip hooray, we hope you enjoyed your guest stint more than cleaning dryer lint. Thank you so much for joining, talking.
Thank you for having me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.